Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? We are back to this mini-series where I am walking you all through micro-practices, like under 5 minutes, maybe even just like 1 to 2 minutes, micro-practices that you can embed into your daily life to help get you out of a survival state into a more thriving, optimal, functioning, well-being state. Body, mind, spirit. So I've been focusing a lot on body and workouts. So the last 3 to 4 episodes were on micro workouts and for different purposes and reasons. Today I'm going to shift a little bit to more of the mind work because I think we've been on the body for a little while and a little break from it. Going to go into everyone's favorite meditation. I have a love-hate relationship with meditation. I love it because I know scientifically it's really, really good for me. I hate it because I struggle with it. I really struggle so hard with it. I want to be good at it and I want to make it a routine. And when I do it, my mind wanders so much. I'm such an overthinker that it feels like a failure every time I do it. So then I just start to just be like, oh, I just can't do it. So I just give up. But there are so many ways to do meditation and be more successful with it, or do like forms of meditation in like the form of more mindfulness-based activities where it's not maybe direct meditation, but you're being more mindful and you're improving your meditative skills through mindfulness. We're going to get into all of that. But the reality is this, our poor brains are not, and were not, and still aren't created for what we are experiencing in today's world. There's so much stimulation in every single space and place we go, unless you're one of those off-gridders, which live really far away from everyone and are like fully sustainable. And then maybe you don't experience so much stimulation, but there's some kind of fact. Like I know the fact-ish, and I might be botching this a little bit, but it's something like 1 million bits of information are coming at us at any one moment at our brains. And our brain has to digest and process each bit of information. And the brain is able to digest 50 at one time. 1 million bits are coming at us. It can digest 50. So you can imagine constantly, regularly, when there are multiple bits of information, many, many, many bits of information, and your brain can't digest them, how your mental energy gets tapped or your mental capacity gets tapped. Like, it makes perfect sense. Brains were developed eons ago in these hunter-gatherer nature-based settings, and the brain is struggling to catch up to the demands of our current and present and modern day society. It can't adjust as fast as society is adjusting. And when I say society is adjusting, I mean, it can't adjust as fast as society is moving. The result, we end up at the end of the day being totally exhausted. Like, our body feels fatigued, our mind feels fatigued. But what that is just this overstimulation. And we need to inch back towards a calmer state of mind, or a more peaceful state of mind, or a more rested state of mind. Sleep alone can't alleviate this issue because it's only being reactive. I'm tired, so I go to sleep. I wake up, I still feel tired. That's because our mental capacity is still getting drained during the day. So we got to save some of the mental capacity. How do we do that? We take care of the mind. It's like you go to the mind gym like you would go to the body gym or the fitness gym. So what is it? What is the mind gym? Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? A mind gym is just space where you create in your day to work on your mind. Like 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, just a little bit of time designated to saving your mental capacity and rebuilding it. So today we're going to focus a little bit on the meditation side of that. Ideally, this would be done in the morning, first thing when you wake up, or really early in your day, because your cortisol levels are super high in the morning, your stress hormone, and your mind is like really overactive from the previous night because your subconscious has been going all night. So when you do these types of practices in the morning, it kind of washes all of that clean. Maybe not the first couple times you do it because you struggle through it, but once you get into your routine and habit with it, it's a really great way to clear space to go into the day more positively than starting frantically and racing around. All right, so what I recommend is starting with like a minute, like 1 minute, where you fixate on an object, you light a candle, you play some music, you just sit in a space and close your eyes, whatever it is, whatever works for you. 1 minute, and you just focus on your breath. Like you actually feel when you breathe in your nose, you can feel cold air coming in. Like your nostrils feel that coldish sensation, even if the air is warm, it still like feels kind of cold coming in through your nose. And then you breathe out through your mouth or your nose. But if you breathe out through your mouth, you can actually feel like hot air. Cold in, hot out. For this minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you just keep focusing on that sensation of cold in, hot out, of that breath. And then try not to let your mind wander. And when your mind does wander, that's okay. Not being hard on yourself, being like, okay, I hear the thought. It's in my mind. Let it go. Go back to focusing on the breath. Go back to focusing on the breath. Go back to focusing on the breath. And with any type of activity where you practice, you improve. So start with 1 minute, build up to two, then three, then five, and so on. I mean, I have at points in my life been able to somewhat easily meditate for 20 minutes. Right now, post child, not there. Like, struggling through 12 minute, 10 minute meditations, but I'm still doing it. I'm still working towards it. And I should maybe take my own advice and back off a little bit and not try and jump back in at 10 minutes. That said, all this said, just sitting and focusing on your breath maybe doesn't work for you. So when I feel like, okay, this isn't working right now, I default to what are my other alternatives? So I typically will hook up, launch my Insight timer app. It is a free app. It has a paid upgrade. I actually do think the paid upgrade is totally worth it. I think it's like $60 a year. I think it's worth it because there are all these, you get a lot of free content. So meditations anywhere from like a minute to 60 plus minutes. And they have breath work and other things too. But what I like about the upgrade is it gives you access to courses or like sequences and some of the meditation artists I really like Sarah Blondin. I love her. Some of their stuff is paid, and I like them enough to pay for the app to support them and their work. So I kind of feel like I'm investing in these meditative artists' practices. Other apps, Calm and Headspace, I believe both have free options as well. Most of these apps are like, we'll give you a little dose for free, and if you want like all of it, here's the paid upgrade. Sometimes worth it. But you can try it out for free before you decide if you want to pay for it. Another thing that's really good here, I've had success with, is connecting this to another routine. So I try and do it. I used to try and do it when I would have my coffee or tea in the morning. Now I'm trying to do it before I even get out of bed, like just laying in bed when I get up and trying to do that. If I am not successful with either of those, I will try to pause at lunch and do it. And if I'm not successful with any of those, I try and do it before I go to bed. I mean, in perfect world, I do it multiple times, but we're baby steps here. Baby steps. These are micro practices. The biggest thing is when you fail at this, because you will probably fail, your mind will race. So many thoughts will come to mind. Like your to-do list will constantly come back to mind. And you'll be like, oh, why am I wasting time doing this? I have this on my to-do list. Don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself grace. Because if you do it and you fail, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself to do it right, and you are really shameful and blame heavy on yourself for failing, that does more damage than not even doing the practice to begin with. So go into it with like, okay, I might and probably am likely to fail this. That's okay. I'm taking a baby step. I'll get better each day. Give yourself some grace. Move through it. Keep at it. Don't give up on it. It takes a long time for your brain to kind of rewire and get comfortable and get used to this type of practice. So stick with it. It might also help to create like a space, or define a space in your environment where you go and you do this, like a physical spot. Like for me right now, it's my bed, but it used to be this like rocking chair that was like white fur. I don't know where this thing came from, but I used to sit in that chair and rock, and the texture of the chair was like, it was so soft. And I sat it right in front of the window, and I'd light a candle and be right by my plants. And it was like the perfect little meditation corner that existed in my home. So can you set up a space or define a spot that you can go and do this? If you are struggling again, you could find an accountability buddy or partner, or I've seen lots of people make it into a competition, which may be good or bad, but like, let's say they want to do meditation for 5 work days of the week, Monday through Friday. For anyone who doesn't do it for each day they don't do it, they have to put $1 into like a collective pot. And for everyone at the end of the week who did all 5 days, they get to split whatever's in the pot. So you could do something like that if you really wanted to make it more of a competitive act. That works for some, it does not work for others. For me, I don't know if it would work or not, but I tend to go a little bit more of like the intrinsic motivation route because I'm a more scientifically minded person. So I'm like, okay, I know the science benefits behind this. I know the research, I know the neuroscience. So I'm just going to do this because I know it's healthy for me. But that type of mental walking through the justification of it may not work for you. So find what works for you. Everyone's practice is going to look different. Everyone's accountability is going to look different, and that's okay. That takes us to today's listener question, which is, I absolutely hate to meditate. So what else can I do? The interesting thing about this is like I'm one of those people and I need it the most. So the people that really struggle with meditation, really kind of hate meditation, are really probably the people that need it the most. So what can you do instead? There are some mindfulness-based practices. Like there are some food-based ones I really love, like just eating a snack that's like really flavorful, like a citrus fruit. Or some really dark, bitter chocolate. And the practice is while I'm eating the snack for the 30 seconds to 3 minutes it takes me to eat it, I'm gonna be fully present with the snack. Like I'm gonna like be aware of the sensation of it on my hands, on my lips, in my mouth, on my tongue, as I swallow, chew, like all the parts of it, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, mindful eating. And you can do that with like a meal in general. You can also do it with fitness, like slowing down and not just cranking out a workout really fast and just kind of feeling the weight if you're lifting weights in your body, or feeling the ground underneath your feet, or just like checking in with your mind and affirming yourself during that workout. A nature walk, you can literally just go on a walk. It's a form of mindfulness. Now, on that walk, trying not to let your mind wander about all the things you need to do or you're not doing, just be present on the walk, even noticing things around you as you are on the walk. And the last one is breath work. So even on Insight Timer, sometimes I'm like, okay, today I'm struggling. I'm going to switch from more of a meditative listening to a breath work session. And I actually search breath work and do like an active breathing based exercise. And that sometimes helps. All right. So those are some options for meditation alternatives. To wrap up the show, I'm going to share with you our try at home tip, which is cleaning your produce. Like our produce today has so much stuff on it, chemicals, pesticides. And when those things go into your body has to spend extra energy digesting them and processing them. And that removes energy that you may want for other things in your life. So there are quite a few things you could do to like wash or clean your produce. I really love an ozone machine. If you don't know what an ozone machine is, give that a Google. But I bought one on Amazon. I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't that expensive. I think it was like $40 or $50. And I actually bought it to clean my cold plunge, which I no longer use because I hate cold plunging. But this ozone machine, it's basically you plug it in, you turn it on. It has this cord, and there are a couple different types of them. The one that I have kind of goes in water. So it doesn't kind of, it does go in water. So I put my produce, or we buy a lot of berries, like blackberries, raspberries. I throw them in the water in a bowl or cup or something. I drop this like ozone connected tubey ball piece in the water, and I flip on the ozone machine for 5 minutes. It makes the water bubble and it cleans out the fruit. It removes all, not all, maybe all. It depends on how good the ozone machine is, how dirty your fruits and veg are, but it helps to remove a lot of the gunk from those machines. I will say when I pull that thing out of the water and I remove the fruit and I look at the water, I'm like, ew, that's disgusting. Like the water is kind of every time like a little bit yellowy brownish. And I'm like, wow, was going to eat that. So I definitely feel better about eating my fruit and vegetables when I put them in an ozone-based water sequence. And it doesn't take long. I literally just drop it in the water, turn on the machine, go do something else, and then come back when it's done. That's it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Don't forget to try the home tip. Maybe consider an ozone machine for cleaning your fruits and vegetables. If you were looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, behavior, and the brain, the Behavior Hub organization I created to coach and work with families and some educators too around all things stress, trauma, and behavior has coaching groups, has online courses. So if you want to learn more about any of that, behaviorhub.com, or you can text me 717-693-7744. If you are looking for this type of support at the like business organizational work level, like how do we heal through nervous system regulation? How do we heal through stress management, burnout, secondary trauma, all the not so fun things? Five Ives is an organization I created with my partner Jessica Doring to help walk people through at an entire organizational level, like leadership, policy, practice, staff. How do we shift all of that as a whole to a more trauma-informed, brain-based, burnout-proof organization. So pop on our website, fiveives, fiveives.com to learn more about any and all of that. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, and thank you for joining me.